Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to the Forever Arsenal podcast. Jordan.
Woo! Let me tell you guys, I had this really well-prepared, elegant, classy, funny skit intro to start the pod. But because my internet is so shit, I just thought it's going to be wasted. So I'll just smile the whole pod. Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
That's like a new for the people as well.
Yeah. They're going to talk.
I'm sure everyone knows what Jordan's smiling about and what Lee's shaking his head about. And
we are top of the league. Say, we are top of the league.
We are top of the league. It's got to stop. Someone smack me. Do whatever you like. When I do that again, I have done it twice now. Given people points, but this one hurt me more and more.
Okay. Let's just remind ourselves who went for what.
Jordan went for 3-1, didn't he? Right, and I went out, and you know, he said, "Oh, I'm gonna go for 4-1, and like, but I'm gonna go." And I said, "Oh, Flavie, go for it, you could." And he went, "Oh, right, I will do." And it ended up 4-1, didn't I? But he was going to go 3-1 if it weren't for my big mouth.
No. Wait.
Turkish went 3-1. Lee, you went
2-0.
Right. I went 4-0.
We're having a little echo on all of a sudden.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
No, it's gone now.
It's bound to be Jordan.
It's gone now.
It's so bad. It's bad enough for him on his own. Now he's got an echo, so I've got to hear him twice.
Oh. I was like, let's flip the show. Let's start with the predictions. I think that's only right, right? If this was match of the day, I'd be the first game of the show. Let's have it right, yeah? There's a new leader, a new heavyweight champion of the world.
I must say, I'd much rather give my money to Jordan.
I don't give a shit what you'd rather. Just give me the money.
What's the point? I can't even read that. Not that I want to anyway, like, you know, but what is the point?
Let me tell the people.
Turkish for audio listeners. Yeah. Sorry.
For the audio listeners, Jordan's in first place on 34 points.
So what? My internet broke up a little bit there, Turkish. What? So was that?
I think we can see the internet breaking up, my guy.
Yeah, but let's hope it does.
Jordan's in first place on 34 points. I am in second place on 34 points. If you're wondering why there's a difference there, that's because Jordan this season has 4 correct scores. I have 3 correct scores, and that is the difference at the top. You call it goal difference. And Lee's in third on 32 points.
Let's call it first and second.
And James is 4th on 27 points with 1 correct score this season. So, yeah,
so
there it is.
I'm actually bottom of the league.
I'm glad.
This is going to be unbearable for a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, Lee, this is going to be the worst pod episode we've done since I've been on this podcast. For the listeners, for the watchers, for you three, this is going to be the worst pod. One to my connection.
You're like Tottenham Hotspur celebrating. You ain't got nothing yet. It's not over yet. Like, you know, until it's over. Come back when it's the last game of the season, you mug. When proper winners like me and Turkish know what it's like to win this league.
I can't hear you down there. Yeah. Can we get some audio? Can we get some captions or some subtitles? I can't hear you down there.
I think I like to watch back-to-back episodes of the tactical show than him winning it, like, you know what I mean? Like, in fact, I'll have a day in the studio in a darkened room watching every tactical insight episode than him winning it. Then him winning.
Can I just say as well, for someone that doesn't apparently watch any of the Arsenal games, I'm pretty good at predicting our results, aren't I? I'm pretty good at predicting the scorelines and results. I'm just gonna say to listeners out there, I don't watch any of the games apparently, but yet I'm the best at predicting how we're gonna win. But
what happened when City went above us on goal difference? It lasted 2 days, Jordan. So
I ain't City B. Yeah, you ain't. I've got to the top. Got next?
Leeds.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
You know what though? There's only one way to go for you now, isn't there? And that's down.
Yeah, clear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
as clear as your internet is as far as you're gonna go, like, you know what I mean? Hey? God, yeah. I hope it rains here tomorrow. I really do that, you know. Get washed away or something. Yeah, where's Jordan? Oh, he got washed away. Thank God. Right, let's get Shiroi in and let's get this game going. Like, you know?
It's too dark. Let me come inside. It's too dark.
Look how happy he is. He's moving about.
He's over the moon. I've never seen anything like it.
Remember when we drew a game, he celebrated it. Do you remember he put in the chat? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm a winner, Lee. What can I say? I'm a winner. What can I say?
You ain't won nothing yet.
All I ask is if you win and we have to give you the money, don't buy an Arsenal shirt. Just get some Wi-Fi. Just something. Get a booster.
No, don't worry about it. He'd be asking us to get us the train fare up to Manchester, Old Trafford. The Man United fan, isn't he? We'll all be revealed. When he's got Bruno on his back, you know what I mean?
Now, don't be salty. Respect the champion, please. Respect the champion. You know, if this was Arsenal, you'd all be kind of, you'd be more respectful. So show me some respect, please. Anyway,
I'm going to cut the audio chat and play it at the end of the season when you don't win the league.
Okay, and what if I do?
I'm going to put them in the recycle.
It's going to be a long summer for you lot.
Click empty trash. That's what I'm going to do.
Listen, I've got messages and people coming up to me after the game because one fella told me, why did you influence him to get the 4-1? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll tell you what, there'd be a few disappointed Arsenal fans if Arsenal don't win the league, but I think there'd be a few if he wins it and all that, you know?
I think so.
Have a whammy, this could be, you know what I mean?
That's the question. Would the listeners and the viewers take Arsenal winning the league? Arsenal winning the league if it meant we winning it as well, or would they rather we capitulate?
let's think about it.
Asking the big question.
Oh dear, I love it.
Oh my god.
And the funny thing is that Lee thought he was playing mind games by getting me to go 4-1. He thought he was doing mind games. And I was like, no. I know what I'm doing. Anyway.
James went big with 4-0. Both of you got it right with the four goals. I'll give you that.
One of us got it right.
Enough of this nonsense.
Bloody Ramsdale, why did he let that go?
Get in, Aaron. Come on.
I know.
I have to have a word with him and go, look, can I just, you know, if we are, you know, like winning 4-0 and we got 4-2, so just let one in, Aaron. Like, you know, I know this is bad, but like goal difference could be a key. Like, you know what I mean? I think I'll take 4-2 now. Like, you know what I mean?
I swear, final point I was going to make, and this is that it got to 3-0. And I was thinking at that point, I'll take 3-0. I wanted a clean sheet. Even though I predicted 4-1, I really wanted a clean sheet. And when they scored, when they went 3-1, I was like, oh, and might as well then. You might as well get a fourth with the game for me.
Anyway, forget settling the nerves in the stadium and securing the 3 points.
Sod your nerves.
I actually went mad when Saka scored. I went mad, not because we've guaranteed the points, but I honestly thought Jordan was on 3-1 as well. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm going and actually put it on there. That fourth one sticks up the 3-1 voters. You know what I mean? Like, oh no. And then I got all the my worst nightmare.
Right, we spent 9 minutes talking about Jordan and his one force.
Is there anything prediction. Else to talk about, James?
I don't think there is really, but I'll leave it to you guys. I'll defer.
On to bigger and better things.
Don't know about bigger and better. Other things.
8 points clear at the top of the Premier League. Not goal difference separating us at the top. Arsenal, 8 points clear. 4-1 win, as you know. Jordan got the prediction right. That's the last time I'll be saying it on this show. And he goes into the international break. Top of the prediction table, as you saw. But that's all going to change in the last 10 games, people. And we are at the last 10 games. And before we touch in on those last 10 games, we have to touch in on the result, the performance, the bounce back from the Sporting. I say defeat. It was on penalties. It was a 1-1 draw. But yeah, all in. I'll start. Perfect. Perfect. The only thing that was missing was the clean sheet. I agree with Jordan. I predicted 3-1, but I really wanted the clean sheet. Yeah, you can do comc comstar now, but yeah, we know what you wanted. The clean sheet would have, you know, capped it all off nicely, but we cut down the goal difference. It is now only 2 between us and Man City. 8 points difference. Coming up to what will be a difficult 10 games to manoeuvre through with a few away fixtures that could quite possibly be curveballs. Saka bounced, well, I say bounced back. People were saying he had a quiet few games for us over the last few weeks, but he comes up, scores 2 goals, gets an assist. He's on 12 goals, 10 assists now. The first Premier League player to hit double digits in both metrics so far this season. And what more can we say about Saka that hasn't been said already? I mean, you know, I want to start with him because he was the star of the show for me, even though the whole team deserved credit and we can get into it all. But James, I see you nodding there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know we've been talking about the predictions and not to bring them back up, but I never go big on an Arsenal win, ever. Usually, all last year was 1-1 for the sake of the ritual. And this year it's, you know, tentative 2-0s, 2-1s, maybe a 3-1. But I went with 4-0 and because I really, like, the team have earned that trust in all of us that when they do have a setback, they'll bounce back properly. And I wasn't surprised that we blew Palace away. And actually, in a lot of ways, it was similar to the Fulham game because I thought for the first 20 minutes, we were easing ourselves into it. We weren't giving them too much away. I actually like the fact that it wasn't a basketball match for the first 30 minutes. It didn't feel like they could catch us in transition. Sure, Zaha has that shot that hits the post. But otherwise, I didn't actually think Palace did that much. A couple chances in the second half. But I thought Arsenal had a good kind of stranglehold on the game. They were sort of keeping Palace in the right areas. And then it was about the magic coming through. And it did. And a standout player for me was Ben White. How a right-back has come out as the playmaker of the match, I'll never know, but that's exactly what he was doing, because whether he was overlapping or threading passes through or then having to deal with the one-on-one defending with Zaha, you couldn't have tasked him with more to do in the game, and he did it all immaculately. I'm so happy, but I'm not that surprised, and that shows you how far we're coming, that this Arsenal team bounce back so comfortably. And I know a lot of people won't want to hear this, and I'm not saying it's the right mentality, but I don't think you can convince me that the team had the same attitude and approach on Thursday night as they did on the Sunday. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I happen to lean on it's more wrong. I want to see that across other competitions as well. But, you know, whatever. They're aiming big and fine. And they just got to another level again. And look, Sporting are a better team than Palace. There's that for sure as well. But it's about the intent, it's about the attitude, it's about the high press. It's about all those things. And Arsenal were brilliant.
And he was at the game as well. Lee, he was at the game. The bounce back emphatically. Got the job done. 8 points clear. Goal difference cut down. Perfect Sunday afternoon.
Listen, it was a perfect Sunday afternoon, apart from conceding that goal. You know what I mean? That was the thing. You know, I have to say that. I was a little bit of shed of disappointment when that happened. Because one, you know, I wanted to see if we could go through the whole season playing London teams and not conceding the goal. I'll be honest. You know, it was there. But also conceding to a Palace side that hadn't scored for ages as well. Slightly concerning. But other than that, it was just an absolute class performance. I actually felt, after sitting down watching it for 5 minutes, we was going to win the game. And by half time, you know, that's 2 times now I've gone at half time in 2 Premier League games, feeling very, very comfortable and thinking that we're going to win the games easy. And that's a lovely feeling at this stage of the season to have that. I don't. I think Saka was brilliant. I don't think he was my man of the match for the game. I'm going to be honest about that. I thought he was good. I thought Martinelli in the first half was sensational, absolutely sensational. Considering he was the only player to miss a penalty, what a show of mentality to come back and want the ball and do what he'd done. Fantastic goal that he scored.
Yeah.
I thought Ben White was outstanding in defence. I thought he was brilliant. Rob Holding, what a performance that is, considering he's hardly played any minutes. To produce that performance, you know, is a credit to him and his attitude and everything there. Yeah. Kieran Tierney coming on, I think, was a big reminder of how good a footballer he is. It was just a really, really good day. But I just want to say that one player really typified everything for me, because it was against Crystal Palace when the meltdown came for Granit Xhaka. And he got injured, a little injury, didn't he? And when he was walking over to the sideline, the whole stadium started singing his name. And then he went in the second half and scored. What a turnaround from that Crystal Palace game to this Crystal Palace game. It's an incredible story. It really is. You know, I know that, you know, we've got people here that don't like him and don't mention his name for whatever reason, like, you know, and I get that. I get that people were saying that, like, you know, but I have to say it's an incredible turnaround where players, and I spoke to supporters that said, yeah, I wanted him out. I didn't want him at this football club now no more. To get that reception, and then when he scored, you know, as well, I just think, you know, what a magnificent story. And I thought he was back to his very, very best on Sunday, you know. And you have to say about him, you know, 120 minutes, and you think, oh, you're going to fade and all that. He was still going. There was a phase in the game, right, must have been right at the end. I don't know if you remember it, guys, when it was just Saka up there on his own, right at the end. And he's going down, and I just see this machine power past people, and it was Granit Xhaka trying to get into the box. We were 4-1 up at that stage. No, oh, I'll rest here and just keep it there. There's a hunger and desire with the younger players, but then also with the older players as well. And I just thought it was a great, great day, and it was good that we got the 3 points and 8 points, boys, now in front. You know what I mean? I have to say that there was pressure on that game. Pressure on that game because of what it meant. Man City, what they've done in their last couple of games, 7-0 and 6-0, didn't faze us one bit. Just went out there and done our job. Magnificent.
Lee, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And it's a good spirited question, because we had this debate. It was in the early days of the Forever Arsenal podcast, and it came from a position of we are disappointed with both. And it was who's our best midfielder? Is it Partey or Xhaka? And I fought valiantly for Partey, and you fought for Granit Xhaka. And from a position of we love them both and they're both having an amazing season, I'd quite like to just briefly revisit that, because it's so different to how it was back then, you know?
Yeah, look, listen, I felt Granit Xhaka was probably the best last season because Partey didn't play as many games yet. But when you watch Partey...
Mm.
It's a Rolls Royce of a player. It really
is. Smooth,
isn't he? He makes the game so easy. I played midfield, like, and I put anybody that's played the game in midfield, it's 100 mile an hour in there. It's, you know, blah, 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 blah. He just has time on the ball, just makes things look so... He's very, very good on the eye to watch. Granit Xhaka maybe not as good on the eye to watch as that, but if you was to say me who's the best player now, you know, Thomas Partey is I am going to say, I think that Shaq is a very, very good midfield player, class midfield player. But Thomas Partey is a world-class midfield player.
And that's why I asked, because when it came up, I don't think anyone was really doubting, no, not speak for you, Lee, but I think that the argument back when we did it, maybe even 2 years ago, was more, you know, Granit Xhaka is more consistent, available, Partey, you know, was having a lot of ups, downs, injuries, all that. I think what's nice about the debate now is Partey's got to a level. Okay, he had his injuries. He's missed some key games even this season. That's disappointing. But largely, he's been very available, touch wood. And actually, he's had his level of performance. When was the last time he was below a 9 out of 10? I'm being deadly serious.
Yeah.
Against Fulham, unbelievable. Against, who did we just beat? Palace. Unbelievable. Like, I'm watching him, and you're right, he just strolls through. Jordan doesn't agree, but I honestly think he is immaculate as a midfielder. And the amount of work he has to do defensively as well. Yeah, we talk about the centre-backs being brilliant, but he's there to do a lot of the work before it gets to them. I think, do you know what?
And it's a great point that you say that, because when he didn't play against Man City, there was a disappointment, like, you know, and you thought, oh, well, you know, weren't going to win this game. If we go to the Etihad in April, and I've got a choice of one of them playing and one not. Even though we both need them both playing, but Partey has got to play in that game. Has got to be available and fit and rearing in that game.
Yeah, I'd still want to be seeing Xhaka there because of a lack of depth.
Yeah,
and us would probably having to go with a Vieira Odegaard combination more so than a partner per se for Partey to work through. But I agree with everything you both said. Partey, world class. Xhaka's been class all season. And we'll go over to the man who won't name him. And before we hear from Jordan, you know, when you touch in on Xhaka, I wanna ask, is it coincidence that his performances and his levels have picked up again since Trossard's been up front, Jesus as well against Sporting, where Xhaka, you know, when he got our goal, because going into the World Cup, Xhaka was, you know, becoming quite productive in the final third for us. However, post-World Cup, without Jesus and with Eddie up top, it seemed like he had to rein it in a little bit in terms of runs into the box and getting onto the end of things, back post and, you know, in and around the six-yard box. Do you think that's by coincidence, or do you think that's, you know, the system in full flow for Arteta?
You know what, Tosh? I hadn't thought of it like that until you kind of phrased it in that way. Listen, first of all, I don't hate the man. He's turned me around this season. He's been one of our best players, and that's a high bar. So I rate him highly. He's been a very important figure in our team. I think I put down his dip in form post World Cup Turkish to just fatigue. I think we also, in the first part of the season, I think Lee mentioned the word machine. He was expending so much energy in that first third of the season. I just think maybe hit the middle part of the season and he just maybe hit a bit of a wall. And I just thought that the last five or six games, he's had a second wind and he's come again. But maybe you're right. I'm happy to totally kind of believe your theory that maybe the players that are now in front of him, he can do what he was doing before. Maybe, whereas before, when Jesus was out, he had to maybe slightly temper his runs into the box. So that's a totally logical reasonable assessment to make as to why now in the last handful of games we've seen the player that we saw in the first half of the season. So I'm happy to kind of go with that theory completely. On the game itself, I think you guys used the word perfect. I think it was a near perfect performance. I think to win two games back to back, or league games back to back, with a 3-goal difference, to eat into that Man City the goal difference, I think is really impressive. I just had a feeling. Look, I mean, I'm joking about the whole 4-1 stuff, but I just had a feeling we were going to beat them up badly, and that was a gamble because our record against Crystal Palace at home isn't great. It's not the last two or three years against Palace at home, we've not been good. I didn't think there'd be a bunch of bounce. I was confident that they wouldn't have the bounce that Everton had when we played them. And I think there's a nice bit of symmetry as well, because I think the game at home, or away, should I say, to Palace, first game of the season, was, I think, the first game where we all looked at the team and thought, ooh, a good pre-season. And it's only one game, but we look good. Top four's on. Top four is on. So I think it's nice to kind of come to this kind of position now whereby we beat them convincingly. A couple of players. I thought Saka was great, not man of the match. I agree with Lee. I thought the man of the match for me was Rob Holding. Yeah. And I know people would say he didn't have a lot to do, but if we win that game 4-3 or we draw it 2-2, who's the person that everyone's going to pick on? It's going to be Rob Holding. So the mere fact that we got, you know, okay, they scored one, but we've kept them relatively quiet, apart from the two Saha chances in the first half. For him to come in under the pressure of Saliba not being there, he didn't have a lot to do, but he did what a squad player is meant to do. I don't need Rob Holding to be spectacular. Just come in and hold the fort for a couple of games. I don't need Jorginho to be spectacular. Just come in and hold the fort for a couple of games. I think Rob Holding was, I just think he was great. Martinelli, I've been quite harsh on Martinelli this season. And this might sound really mad. I'll get a lot of heat for saying this. I'm not sure his game, overall game, has actually improved. I think his goal output has improved, but I'm not sure if his overall game has actually improved. However, that first goal is a phenomenal goal. Don't underestimate how difficult that goal is to score. To switch it onto your favourite foot all in one action and cleanly strike across the goalkeeper, that is a brilliant goal. And I agree, I think, with Lee said, his work rate is always 100. Mm. I think his pace is always a problem. I'm just not sure his overall game has gone up in the way that I can see improvement for Saka. I can see improvement on Gabriel. I can see improvement in Emile Smith-Rowe. I can't see an improvement. I don't know, maybe I'm being super harsh here, but I think his goal rate has gone up, but I don't think his actual overall improvement. But we can discuss that later time.
I want to cut in there because I read something recently where Saka's by far the player in the Premier League that gets himself into most one-on-one positions with the opposition fullback. But in second, it's Martinelli. Yes, some way off, but Martinelli's also first in take-ons that lead to touches in the opposition box. So I know what you're saying, and I know why you're saying that you haven't...
But you know, but Turkish, he's always done that. For 3 years, that's what he's done. He's beaten players with his pace and his directness for 3 years. That's great.
Level now, I mean, again, if we look at Rashford, I mean, Rashford's lauded for dribbling, getting into the box and scoring goals. Martinelli's one goal behind him, and statistically, his success rate in terms of dribbling into the box.
But that's my point. Apart from his goal rate improving, which is a significant metric that I want him to improve on, of course, apart from that, what has improved about Martinelli's game in the last two seasons?
I think his decision-making, he has. I don't think it has. I think it has. You look at Aston Villa, he's on the edge of the box there. He picks out Jorginho. It's a good pick. It's a good spot. Lots of times players would just plant into the area. I think that in and around the box, he picks out good passes. Of course, not all the time. And also, he does it on his own. He hasn't really got Ben White helping him out like Saka has and gives him that little decoy run. He has to do a lot of it himself. And listen, if you're going to improve on one thing, let it be the goal scoring.
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
No, I think it's a major thing where I think if you look at Saka, I think Saka's goal scoring has really improved. Mm-hmm. Really improved. And so has Martinelli. I think that Martinelli came in and there was always a high bar with him as well. I think that he set a good high bar. And, yeah. You know, I actually speaking to my mate today who's I ain't seen for a little while, like he's a Chelsea fan. And he turned around and he said, "Oh, you've got two wingers to die for." And I love that when opposition are saying that. I actually quite like that.
Yeah,
we said that.
And do you know how many years we didn't have wingers? Like, I mean, when you actually look back at past, I mean,
Jovino.
I mean, even Alexis Sanchez, like he was a wide left player, but in a more, he'd still drop deep, play make, and all that kind of role. I know our wingers do a bit of that. And do you know what I mean? Sanchez wasn't a blistering, I'm going to run past five players. He just had the close control and the ability to get round players when he could, but he could also combine. He did so much. I mean, Alexis Sanchez was unbelievable. And by the way, how good would he be in this front?
Sanchez was probably a mix of Jesus and Martinelli.
Great point.
Quite a good way. Yeah. Like they can burst past players, but it wasn't always the go-to method. I think, Jordan, you're right. You might get some sort of response to what you said there about Martinelli in the comments or whatever, but I'll stick up for you. But I don't disagree fully because I think something about Martinelli, his style's very raw. Like his style is very, give me the ball, I'll take a good first touch and then it's head down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can actually be a bit frustrating, but other times it's, you know, beautifully efficient and effective and chaotic in a really good way. And I think that's, but that also feeds into his, like, it's just everything he does, the way he presses and his desire to win the ball back. It's all a million miles an hour. I mean, I think being a fullback playing against him, you know, people talk about Trent, for example, and the duels they've had. Not only is it a nightmare for Trent if you're having to defend him, but it's also when you've got the ball, he's going to be on you immediately. And the amount of times he does that, he makes that tackle that you could easily not make because the running back and making the tackle, you know, you think Xhaka's got him or Zinchenko toward it, but he'll run back and win the ball, you know, because he senses an opportunity to nick in there and get it done. Yeah, and that's all part of his kind of infectious nature.
And I don't want to be... sorry, just go on, sorry.
That also adds to... You know the point I made about Rashford? Rashford doesn't defend nearly as much as a Martinelli. He doesn't work nearly as much defensively as Martinelli. So for Martinelli to still be up there in and around that conversation, he's our top scorer this season in the Premier League.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And I want to be clear that I'm not being critical. When I'm critical of players, I have no compunction about being critical. Trust me, I'll take the slaps. I'm not being critical of them. I'm just saying I look at other players' game under Arteta and I can see where they've improved. And look, Turkish, as many people do, compared Martinelli to kind of Sanchez, and I get that. I compare him more to Suarez. And Suarez had that raw, give me the ball, I'm just going to go through you. And it wasn't elegant, and it wasn't pretty, and it wasn't even skillful.
Ooh, but he had I that don't knack. Know. Luis Suarez.
Think, yeah, he had that knack he of just bundling his way through three players. And that was a skill in itself. Again, I'm not being critical here. I'm just saying that I think that worked for Suarez. So if it works for Martinelli, then I'll take it. I just think he may have to adapt a different element to his game in the way that I see some of our other young players adding weapons to their game.
I mean, what you mean, but yeah. I mean,
I'll be very surprised, maybe, and I'll put my head on the chopping block here. Like, you know, next season, barring injury, Martinelli will get 20 Premier League goals. I think pace is always something that defenders don't like. He's got it in abundance. I think he is improving on his goal scoring. And I think that I think you'll end up 16, 17, 18. Go, he'll come close to it this season. I think, what's he got now? 13.
Yeah, he can get 7 in the last 10.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to back him. I'm going to say that he'll get it this
year. It's a big shout.
20 goals. I think that, you know, barring injury, I think he's got it. And I'll tell you what you have to say about him is the mentality. I really mean this, you know, the penalty thing on that. He wouldn't have been out of sleep that night, knowing that he's the only penalty player to miss, right? He's got the pressure of Trossard coming to the club and maybe taking his place. He's responded to it where he got dropped against Aston Villa. What was his response from that? Well, six goals in six games.
Yep.
You know,
I
think that you have to give him a lot of credit for his mental fear. And also, I have to say, you know, I've watched some gifted players at Arsenal. You know, Robert Perez, gifted. But you had to play other players in the team to cover up his deficiencies. And I mean, like, his defending and whatever, like, you know. And Arsenal did, don't get me wrong. We don't have to do that with these two boys. You know, their work rate is phenomenal. They can defend. You know, they can get back into shape. They're willing to work and run 100 yards back for the team. Certain, I watched Zaha on Sunday. Fantastic footballer, I'm going to say. Caused us all sorts of problems. When he lost the ball, never once did he chase back. Never once, actually, when Ben White nicked it off of him, we scored the goal because he didn't chase him back. You don't see that with Martinelli and you don't see it with Saka. You know, we're hungry young players. And I think that's a great attitude to have.
Can I ask James a question? Lee makes the point there about the response from Martinelli having missed a penalty in midweek and, you know, what we saw on Sunday. I think it was you made the point about, at the start of the show here, saying maybe the competition, with it being the Europa League, there's an element of, it's only the Europa League, we're gutted, but hey, if he missed a penalty in a Champions League game that got us knocked out, do you think he would have been he would have reacted the same way?
Ooh, good question.
Okay, I think
there's a right or wrong quick answer here. I just wanted to hear what you.
I think he would have responded in the same way. I back his mentality, but essentially what you're basically saying is, did were they that bothered he missed it? Like yeah. I think the answer is no. I can't imagine he was sitting there. You know, Lee mentioned maybe a sleepless night. I have a feeling he probably conked after an hour. Played 120 minutes. Thought I'm a bit exhausted. I'll chuck on Tactical Insight. Beat you to the joke. Lee. You know, I just can't. I don't think they were that bothered, and that's not. And I know this is a hard mental state to be in, but like, if we win and we go through, we're happy and we'll enjoy the ride, and that's great. And if we don't, we'll address what went wrong and then quickly move on from it. Like, I don't think they were going to sort of be sitting there doing this big, massive post-mortem after the game and Martinelli in the change room, head in hands, you know, what have I done? I think they would have said, well, look, play well on Sunday.
I think it's a mix of both, I think.
I tend to agree.
I think when you miss a penalty, regardless of if it's in a knockout competition, in a league game, in a meaningless game, as an attacker that's hungry for goals, you are going to have somewhat, maybe not a sleepless night, but you'll be thinking about it for sure. I mean, Sunday league, Saturday league, I've missed a penalty before. And, you know, it hurts.
Yeah, even it's not nice.
Even if your team win 4-0, you're thinking, that could have been my hat-trick or shit.
Yeah, I missed one in a derby. We won it 3-2. Everyone was celebrating. I was sitting there sulking.
There you go.
I was captain. I did a Gallas. We won.
But you are right, Jordan. If it was Champions League, it's a bigger... it's bigger to get over mentally because Champions League, all eyes are on it, whereas with the Europa League and with us...
Also, lads, I think, you know... Yeah, the biggest thing for me is when he got left out against Aston Villa, he could have sulked about that, going, well, how comes, like, you know, we've gone and got Trossard, we look to go and get 80, 90 million pounds for a player to play in my position. You know, does this manager really like me? What's going on here? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not happy with this, like, you know. And then has come back and produced what he's produced. I think, you know, mentally you've got to have a little bit, because he's, you know... Listen, you've always been in dressing rooms, and a new player walks in a dressing room, like, you know, the first thing you ask him is not his name. I don't care what anybody says, like, you know, I mean, hello, mate, what position do you play? You know, what I mean, like, you know, and then he goes, oh, I play left back. Oh, hello, my name's Lee. How are you? All right. Like, you know, it happens. You know what I mean? Guarantee it happens, like, you know. He's got that Trossard coming in there knowing he's going to, could be taking his place, you know, or a little bit of undermining his confidence a little bit. Far from it. He's actually felt right. Well, if that's how you feel, right, I'm going to put... Now, all of a sudden, everybody's putting Trossard up against Jesus, not Martinelli no more. So what a compliment to him. What a compliment to him.
And I'm really glad you brought that name up, Trossard, because he wasn't even his best before. He wasn't as good as he was against Fulham, for example. Still very good against Palace. But, you know, I saw Chelsea draw 2-2 with Everton. And, you know, they could do some pace on the counter, whatever. They don't bring on Mudryk. Now, I'm not here to judge Mudryk. I actually still think he'll develop into a very good player.
Yeah.
But it's funny how things work out, because right now, the injuries we've had, the squad balance, and this is all in hindsight, Trossard absolutely looks more the player we needed over Mudryk.
Yeah.
Premier League proven.
I've said before. Experience. Mudryk's the guy we wanted. Trossard's the guy we needed. It's simple. That's how it is. Can I make one final point? So sure, I'm not on the game itself. On the last pod, I went quite big on talking about how, you know, 8 points clear would be huge. City will be deflated. Psychologically, it'll be all of that. And that's all probably true. But then when I thought about it a bit more, I'm actually going to contradict myself in the point I'm making here, in that actually, it's not about Man City. And we're in a position now whereby we don't have to look at their results. They're watching our results. You better know that. They're watching our games to see what we do. We don't have to worry about them anymore. So all this talk, and listen, it came from me, of we need to win to really deflate them, to really mess with their head, to really, you know, punch their enthusiasm. No, we don't. We've just got to win our games. If we just win, tick off our game one at a time, it doesn't matter if they win 8-0, 12-0, 59-0. It doesn't matter. We just got to do our job game by game by game.
Statement, wouldn't it?
But would it? If the 8 points behind us, I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. So I just want to make that point because we could go 11 points clear, but I hope the narrative, and again, I will not make this point on the next pod, the narrative shouldn't be we're playing ahead of City, we can go 8 points clear. The narrative should be it's one more win close to a title.
Yeah.
But I did say a few weeks back that I don't think these two teams are sitting there getting like emotionally thrown around by each other's results. So, like 1 minute they're high, then City.
I think City are. City have to be surely, James.
That if it were the other way around and we were the inexperienced chasers, yes, I think we'd be sitting there going, oh, they're relentless. But they've been there before. They've chased down leads. I think City will just be like, yeah, but they'll be calmly believing they'll slip up at some point. Even if they don't really truly believe that, Pep will just have that instilled in them. Keep winning, they'll drop points, beat them in the attack, keep winning. That's all they'll be thinking. Or they'll be very relaxed. And also, it's not like we pulled out a result. Listen, the run's been brilliant. 6 wins in a row, great response, all that. But we haven't pulled out a result that's like, we should have won these 6 games. And we won them. It's not like we've just gone to Anfield and won 3-0. Then I think City would be thinking, oh my word, that was one of the big ones. We thought they were going to drop points then.
Yes or no to all three of you?
It's more the way you've been winning, I think.
Right, yeah.
What was it? After last weekend, I think I mentioned it. The way City beat Palace and the way we beat Fulham.
We're not nicking wins.
Usually it would be the other way around where the challenger needs to scrape a win and then Man City go and just make light work of their opposition. That's the difference this season and in the last 6 games, for example, whether it's a 1-0 win against Leicester where their XG is 0.01, whether it's a 4-0 against Everton, a 3 against Fulham away from home, we're just doing it emphatically. And I think a lot of that is down to what Jordan's saying, not necessarily looking at Manchester City much and doing what we need to do. But I can't lie, as a fan, I'm waiting for that Man City-Liverpool game and I'll be watching because, yes, we've got an 8-point lead. Yes, it could be 5 with their game in hand played. But I still think, you know, in order for me to really be confident about us taking this over the line, ideally, I'd like more drop points, especially before Anfield had or St. James Park.
That's my question, Turkish. To all three of you on this call and the viewers as well, yes or no, if City don't beat Liverpool and we beat Leeds, is it over?
No, it's not over. No,
it's not over, but I think we'll win it.
Yeah, I think like these next few games are massive. Like the Liverpool, you know, will cause some problems. They will cause problems against Man City, but then we've got them the following week. So whatever happens in that result determines, you know, like say like if Liverpool beat City there. Just say if they beat City or they go there and get some sort of result against City, helps us, but it also keeps them fired up for the Champions League spots as well, like, you know. So when we plan the following week, it's going to be really difficult.
I think we beat them.
Sorry, James.
They've got a trip to Stamford Bridge, apparently, in between.
Who have? Liverpool. Yeah, Liverpool have. Yeah, they've got three games of really difficult things. Listen, that would be a difficult game. If we can beat Leeds and then beat Liverpool, I think it's, come on, Lee, get it out.
Say it, Lee. Say it. Don't think.
I believe that we will win it if we win our next two games. I believe we'll still be 8 points clear. And Manchester City have got a hell of a schedule coming up in that thing. Even so much so, the manager was saying, oh, well, we need to play a Sunday, which he didn't get. He got the Saturday, they got the extra. But we've got an extra day, or if we play Southampton, don't forget, if we can keep winning those games, we go to Southampton on a Friday night and could actually increase the lead even more before we go to Man City.
Emirates
game. Massive couple of games. Because they've got the semi-final that day.
And the thing as well that everybody's forgetting is everyone, all the haters keep saying, oh, City can go on a run, City can go on a run, blah, blah, blah. They're going to beat the Etihad. What people are forgetting is that if we beat Leeds, we may be in a position whereby we don't even have to beat Man City.
No.
We could be in a position where we could lose to City and still have a 5-point lead. So that big title crunching game is out the way, and you've still got a 5-point lead. James Flack had a 5-point lead.
If we could beat Liverpool and beat Southampton and beat Leeds, we actually could go to the Etihad, if I'm right, 11 points clear going into that game. 11 points clear.
His numbers are just, yeah. Wow. You're all right.
That's incredible. Then. If you was to win that,
James is shook.
To win it, you're 14 points clear. Come on, it's done and dusted. So it's these next three games. Man City will win them all.
They'll beat Liverpool.
Yeah, I think they will.
They'll win their game in hand emphatically. If I'm telling you now, if we win this title, I promise you, it's going to be a drama-filled last day of the season.
I think we're going to have to win 9 games. 9 out of 10.
It will be... I know, but...
You think 9 out of 10, Lee?
Because I look at Manchester City's running. They've got no, what I would say, difficult games. They've got Liverpool
last game of the season
and Chelsea at home. They've got Brentford away last game of the season.
Brighton away.
And they've got Arsenal at home, the league leaders. People are forgetting that. Again, they've got
on paper the easier running. I think they're capable of winning all of those games. But do you know what? So are we.
I'm going to flip it.
So are we capable of winning it?
Lee, why can't we go today and win? People are talking like that game's a given. City are going to win it. Why can't we go there and win?
If Arsenal got their full team out, and I mean that sincerely, if Partey's fit, all those players playing, Jesus and all that, I think Arsenal will get a result there.
I mean, when I look at the fixtures, are we overlooking...
Turks are shook now.
No, because I'm looking at the fixtures and I see Leeds, I see West Ham, I see Southampton, three teams that are fighting for their lives. And this is the stage of the season where the teams fighting for their lives really start fighting for their lives. I mean, 10 games to go. I'm definitely not overlooking those fixtures, but I think it does fall under away fixtures against Liverpool, City, then Newcastle. And like I said before, if we can get a minimum of 5 points out of those 9 available, I think we win the league. But
We'll beat Liverpool.
I think you'd be disappointed Saturday morning, right? I believe Manchester City will beat Liverpool comfortably.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know.
I think they do.
And I believe that they will. And then that means that we have to go and beat Leeds comfortably. I think it'd be a tough game, Leeds. But I do think that. And then it's game on. I think that Liverpool... are not as good as what everybody says they are.
Agree.
And when it comes to it, we have got to go to Anfield.
Who's saying they're good? I think Liverpool are 2 players away from getting, you know, from it clicking all again.
They've got a dangerous front three. If that clicks, James, then you're in trouble, like it did against Man United. Yeah. But, you know, that's the only way.
I'm dreading that Anfield trip, but I just think...
I think defensively
this season, I think City will feel confident to just go and impose their game on Liverpool. And then at Anfield is where I think we might really struggle, if I'm honest. I think on the road, they've been quite poor, Liverpool. I think City will do well.
Yeah.
It's the international break coming up, lads. And I just wanted to do 2 things. First of all, I was saying to the guys, James, just for a bit of fun, because it might be our last chance to have a little bit of fun until we get into the last 9 games where we'll be nervous. I wonder if we just give quickly our top 3 players of the year so far at Arsenal. Mm. And second of all, people are going to find this mad. I would actually find it almost a dereliction of duty and a disgrace if Mikel Arteta doesn't find some way to get Bukayo Saka out of that England team over this break. I'm telling you, I'm going strong, James. He needs to find a way to get Saka out of that squad. I've seen Rashford pull out. There's a Man City player. Who was it?
Yeah, Haaland.
They're getting all their guns. They're slowly but surely getting their big guns pulled out of this break. I'm telling you, Arteta's got to pull a deal with Southgate, play him in one game. Yeah. You don't play him in both, or pull him out. Saka, say you got a little something. All the top managers do it. Jose did it. Ferguson did it. Don't know if Wenger ever did it. Benitez did it. They all did it. So for me, he's got to find a way to kind of get some kind of deal or get him to pull out. And I'd love to hear your three player of the year so far. 3-1.
I think the Haaland thing's legit, though, to a degree.
This is convenient. Very convenient.
Well, it is.
If they had a game next week, would he not play?
I think if it were the Champions League final tomorrow, I think he'd play. But
if it's a league game, if they were playing West Ham in the league next week, would he play?
Yeah, maybe. No. I don't know. I don't know. But
he played Champions League.
But then I know, right? I know this whole they're doing the dark arts, Man City, and getting players out of the squad and all that, and it's a shame you see it, but. Obviously, more about game time. I don't want Southgate to give him 180 minutes of football, but bit of a change of scene, bit of a change of environment, get away from the stresses of a title race and all that. Not a bad thing.
But that's the thing, James. He's enjoying it. His interviews, you can see, he's enjoying this title race.
I hear that, and he'll come back enjoying it. I'm not opposed.
I think Haaland is definitely fit, definitely injured.
I think he
want to play in the Euro. He missed out on the World Cup, guys. You know, I mean, he don't want to miss out on too many tournaments. I think he's genuinely gutted that he ain't available for that game. I do think that he's genuinely injured. That's Rashford. Rashford come off, didn't he? You know what I mean? Like, you know, he took a knock. You know what I mean?
And we're worried about Saka.
Saliba's out, isn't he? So, you know, we could be saying that about Saliba.
We're worried about Saka maybe playing and maybe getting these minutes, and I'm sure he'll get plenty, but you know, Man City ultimately have what, 15 to 17 maybe games between now and the end of the season. We've only got the 10, so really it's advantage Arsenal in just the title race in terms of the schedule. So I'm not that worried about it.
I do think last year Arteta mentioned it after the last international break where Tierney played 2-0 games for 90 minutes and he picked up an injury that cost us, you know, towards the end of the season. So
yeah.
I think conversations would have been had where it's not both games, you know. Obviously, England got Italy, that's a big one. Maybe that one, yes, and the other one, no. But I'm not even sure who they play for the rest of the
game. You're right, aren't I? So as it happens, it'll be Shinchenko off against Saka.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's all right, though. I don't mind that, dude.
I think Zinchenko's probably starting midfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He plays in midfield for him.
I'll get a point back on Robbie. Come on. He was back in it. The greatest comeback since Jordan.
And on Jordan's other question, because we've got less than 9 minutes to go.
Three
Arsenal players of the season, which is
3-1.
One, but we've had a little think about it. Let me go first. Without much thought into it, and how difficult it is to pick three. I'm going to go with Saka 1, Partey 2, Ben White 3.
That's my three. But how can I leave out Odegaard? But that is my three.
How can I leave out Saliba? How can I leave out Odegaard? Yeah,
this is why it's a good question, because it's so hard. Do you know what I mean?
But I think Saka, Partey and Ben White for many different reasons.
I'm the same, but in different order.
Ooh.
I've got Saka, Ben White, and then Partey. I just think like Ben White's been there all season. Partey's had a few misses.
Yeah, yeah. White over Partey, just
me. Just, yeah. I think Ben White has been our best defender. I think that there's been, you know, all of them have played really well. You know, Shinchenko, by the way, has been outstanding as well. You know, it's very, very hard. And I could, just one point on the game on Sunday, which people forget about. Aaron Ramsdale saved that one that hit the post. People were all saying, oh, he got beat on his near beat. He got a little finger at that. You know what I mean? So he's been outstanding. You know, very, very difficult. Like, you know what I mean? And at this
fine
moment,
margins,
it can change. Someone can fine just push margins, their shoulders. So again,
that one bounces off his back and goes out for a corner.
Yeah, well, it bounces
off his head into the back of the net. So
that's a bit of luck we deserved. Yeah,
you need a little bit of luck.
I don't know title winner that hasn't won it with a degree of luck in some way, whether it's I used to watch Chelsea under Jose Mourinho, and I don't know what was said.
Jordan said, "You're looking at one, mate.
You're looking at one that don't need no luck, right? You know what I mean?"
I remember watching.
It'll be unbearable this for a couple of weeks, isn't it, boys? Come on, Turkish.
I don't know why you two care so much.
Do you know why we care, James, right? This is something you've got to learn, because me and Turkish, we're winners. Competitive. You know what I mean? You're just going with your 1-1 draws and doing it for that. Like, we've got the competitive edge. You know, if we're playing a game of tennis, me and you, I ain't going to be nice to you. I'm going to smash you all over the court. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's what's been ingrained in me. Like, you know, you'll be going, oh, well played, Lee. Good shot, Lee. I wouldn't be saying that to you, James. I'll be calling you every day under the sun.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah,
I'll cancel our 7 o'clock.
We're having a game of tennis in the summer.
Yeah, why not?
I want to come.
You can come watch. We'll play doubles. Actually, which one of you can play?
I'm not going to lie. I can't play, but I'll.
All right, so it's me and you, James. We're going to have 100 quid on it.
Do you know what, Lee? I still don't want to play with you. I'll have Turkish. We'll be fine. Oh,
all right. Okay, like that, is it? We'll be all right.
Children,
me and you, son.
Me and you, let's do it. The veterans, the oldies.
Instead of getting a shirt this season, if you win it, get some tennis lessons, right?
Listen, it's interesting hearing you lot's top three, just quickly to wrap up. I mean, Saka agreed. My second and third actually were, I had Odegaard second, because I just think that what Odegaard does is rare. People talk about, again, you know, I hate these cliches, but people talk about the hard thing to do in football is score goals. No, it's not. The hard thing to do in football is create. I think creating is the hard, and I think he does it better than pretty much anyone else in the league, bar De Bruyne. And I think if he's not there, I think we create significantly less. He's the cog that starts the moves, which enables Saka, Martinelli and Jesus to kind of do their thing. And I think if he wasn't there, I don't think we're top of the league. So I'm going to go Odegaard second. And in third, it's a toss up for me between He Who Shan't Be Named and Ramsdale. They're the two that I probably lean more towards He Who Shan't Named, because for the first third of the season, he was our best player.
Yeah.
It's a good question, Turkish. It's a good question.
If he becomes a Premiership winner, will you name him?
100%. 100%. Vice captain, 100%. But I just think it's important.
Top three players. I'm sure now is the time, but.
Well, top two, maybe. Then I can name him. But I just think it's easy to forget.
For as long as you haven't named him, he's been brilliant. So don't name him.
That's right.
Don't name him. He's got that Premiership medal around his neck.
No, for sure. But I just think in the first third of the season, Jesus and Saliba are the two that have been hailed the most. I think he was our best player. I think for the first 4 months of the season, I think he was our best player. And despite you guys thinking I don't rate him. No, He Who Shan't Be Named. I think he was excellent. I think he was excellent. So he'd be my third. Agree. Anyway.
Pre-World Cup, he was my player of the season. And Jesus was probably second. So...
Yeah. And Saliba.
It can all change. Boys have got 10 games to go. Like, you know what I mean? It's like a race, isn't it? There's no stand out at the moment. I think Saka maybe just out in front, but all the rest are in with a shout. And that's what you want. You know, from your goalkeeper to your centre forward, to your wide player, to whatever, they've all contributed. And I'll tell you what also has to be said, so has the likes of Eddie has contributed.
Everyone
Rob Holding has come in and contributed.
Tomiyasu
has come in. You know, Vieira, look at his performance at Brentford. Everybody's come in and Nelson. You know, name a player that's not contributed in this season so far. You know what I mean?
Well, Matt Turner, but it's not his fault.
No,
Smith Rowe as well, but
well, he's got an assist, as you just quite right. Well, ridiculously just said that assists are easier than goals. So, like, there you
No. I said creating is harder than scoring goals. That's different. Creating is different. Assisting.
We'll beg to differ on that one.
Still wrong, but yeah, it's different.
But everybody, you know, Tierney, I don't forget people, what a performance he produced at Brentford that
day. Yeah, he was really good. That was good to see, actually.
They've all contributed. Great to see.
Everyone's got Saka as number one, a bit of a change for 2-3. Listen, people, viewers out there, supporters.
Yeah, this is it.
Let us know yours in the comment section. And on the note of the comment section, Jordan's about to interrupt.
Oh, sorry, Turkish man. Sorry, bro. I find it interesting that rival fans, though, they say Odegaard. When you listen to rival fans, they say they say your best player this year has been Odegaard, which, I mean, I don't care. Whatever, they've both been excellent. But rival fans say Saka's been amazing, but your best player has been Odegaard. So I find that interesting too. Anyway, sorry, no more from me, no more.
People, hit the like button, make sure it's up to 1,000 and give us your top three players of the Arsenal season so far with 10 games to go. We will do it at the end of the season as well once we see if we get over the line or not. But with 10 games to go, I think it was a good point made by Jordan to get our thoughts and feelings around top three players, and it is a hard one. So let us know yours in the comment section. On the comment section, has everyone got their comments of the day ready from the last pod?
Yeah, I do. I'd love to fly in with this, if that's okay.
No worries.
We've got DT247 says, listening to the Forever Arsenal podcast has got me watching Tactical Insight. Lee is a marketing genius.
I Great told work, you.
James and Graham, by the way, can see a lot goes into making these shows. Yeah, spot on. That was a comment, actually, on Tactical Insight. Thank you, Lee.
Lee, send your invoice in.
My job is done. My job is done. Can I go next? Because it's a little bit relevant. From Wormlet, I hope I got his name right. Lee doesn't really hate Tactical Insight. He's just envious that James has got his own show. And talks about his passion, dots on the screen. The solution to the problem would be to give Lee his own show and he could talk about his interests for an hour. How biscuits were better in the old days. How he used to walk a mile to school barefoot in the snow and then get 20 lashes.
I love it.
74 years old.
I had someone come up to me about that, by the way, like, you know what I mean, and said, how disrespectful, like, so play that, like, and I said, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
I had someone out, here say, actually, that was really, really complimentary. So just, it depends who you chat to, Lee. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool J would, like, you know.
There's a lot of messages. In the chat in the comments from people all over Africa that are massive Arsenal fans, just bringing up the platform from Kenya where I am and Ethiopia where I was and all over. So big up all the people that hit me up.
Did they reach out to you?
They did. They were like, come to this party, come to this bar, come to this thing. Wow. Yeah. They were showing love.
Did you go to any?
No.
Nah, because he's an horrible
Didn't go to one. But anyway, the comment that I wanted to flag, which is a quick one, it's got someone, Swarav, I can't remember my writing now, I think it's Swarav, Turkish's face when Jordan interrupted him to sing the European League anthem. And it's funny because when I started singing it, he was making a point, because I did interrupt you and I felt very rude. And I've done it a lot today as well. So I want to make this pledge. The next four podcasts, I'm not going to interrupt Turkish while Turkish is making a point. He's the boss, he's the host, and it's not the JJB show. So I apologize for interrupting you, Turkish, on that last pod because someone has flagged it and I noticed it as well.
Someone's flagged it, they've been flagging it all season. And you said you're not going to interrupt for a few times this season, but here
I have. I apologize. One more point. The video that you guys did, the fan cam with the young boy from America, I thought was amazing. I don't know if you guys have all seen it. Yeah, it was a really young boy from America. And just to big up Robbie and you guys and the platform, because this is the whole point of AFTV, is to give Arsenal fans globally, I mentioned the African Arsenal fans, globally, a voice and a say and to be involved. And I want to big up Robbie on that one because Robbie, you've spoken about it before, but it doesn't matter if you're black, white, young, old, you know, Lee's on there, you know, disabled, abled, man, well, it doesn't matter who you are. If you love Arsenal and you've got something to say, you know, that's what AFTV is for. And I watched the game in a bar out here, the 4-1.
Oh, you watched it, did you?
No, I did watch it, actually. I know what? I forgot. But it was packed. And then they're not just there like as a novelty. They're passionate. They're going crazy. They love it. So anyway, big up that video of the young boy. Big up AFTV and big up yourselves. I'm out.
So you did a shout out for some parties events. Got a load of invites to the surprise of all three of us, quite frankly. And didn't go to a single one of them.
James, some of them were like in Benin. Some of them were in Madagascar. Some of them were in bloody Nigeria.
So I didn't mean it then.
Well, yeah.
There was a few in that in Kenya.
Where are you? I'm hungry now. Well, come out to South Africa. We'd love to have you. Like, oh, well, but I'm
in, oh, you can't make it. Oh, shame. Yeah. Sorry about that. That's a shame.
Wait a second.
Say that again, James.
No, it's the way he went. No. Didn't go to any.
No. Well, he's not a nice bloke, is he? Like, well, let's be honest. The fans know it, don't they?
Lee, you don't get top of the league by being a nice bloke. Yeah,
no,
nice
that's
guys.
True.
Nice guys that finish last. That's why James is last.
Chill, you know? I'll
he's
take
on
that.
Fire, isn't it? He's on fire.
It's not that he's nice, is it? He's useless. You know what I mean? There's a difference.
He's both. He can be both. He can be both.
I've got a lot of people going, you know, James is very witty and very funny and, you know, good. He's a good lad. And I just want to emphasise that, like, you know, he is a good lad.
Lee, I really don't care. Go on, turn. I really don't care.
Met his mum the other day. Very nice.
Oh, she's lovely.
Yeah, she didn't slag me off. So, that was quite nice.
Well, no, hold on. Actually, quick story. You slagged her off for turning up to an Arsenal game last season with a green scarf. So when she saw you today, she went, I've got the red one.
Yeah, she did. She did, didn't she? Like, yeah, I mean,
she made sure, just in case she bumped into you.
Well done, yeah, she made the point of she's got the scarf right this time, like, you know. Well, you got to do this, ain't you? Like, you know, lovely lady.
I don't know if you lot noticed, but after Jordan's pledge to stop interrupting, he interrupted me again to say, America, I've done the AFTV interview because it's a global and all of this stuff. But yeah, we move.
It's something you're just gonna just have to get myself, used Turkish. To. I think Turkish.
So
you probably already.
I'm so sorry. I can't help myself. I'm so sorry, Turkish.
I am used to it. It's all good. My comment of the day comes from Louis Thompson.
Are we still doing this?
Yeah, because you interrupted.
I'm so sorry.
I should just lock the whole show.
Come on, if you insist, wherever you want, Turkish, come on.
Louis says, don't comment on videos normally, but I thought I had to do this one. I love every show you guys do, and I have to say, after that gutting performance against Sporting, it's been this pod and your top-notch discussion that has given me the energy again. P.S. Love the tactical insight show, and Lee, I'm sympathetic. I'd struggle to sleep too if I knew Jordan was ahead of me in the prediction table.
There you go. Good man. Good man. I'm the worst person at the top of the league. 4-1, by the way. 4-1. Yep. The chat's gonna be on fire this week, mate. I'm telling you, in the WhatsApp group.
I'm coming back against Leeds. That's it. I'm getting a correct.
Where he goes first, so he can't copy.
That's all right.
There you go. All right, listen, people. Big up Jordan, big up Lee, big up James. This has been the Forever Arsenal podcast. 6 minutes overtime, so make sure you get it to 1,000 likes as always. Leave your comments for comment of the day. Next time we're on, I believe this is the only one we're doing this week, but if you have the notification bell on and you're subscribed, then you'll know when the next one's out. If we're not back this week, we are back next week to preview the Leeds game at the Emirates. So love for the love, people. Hope you like the video. Tune in again soon. Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.